someday you may find yourself in a tough spot like these two Marines. They are in search of fresh water and food after days of battling the sea in a rubber boat. Landing on a Pacific island these days may bring a challenge from tough little men with mouths full of teeth. To knock out these teeth, our boys unfortunately have but one weapon, a knife. One knife for two men isn't what can be called adequate weapon strength. But one of the men is a darn good club fighter, and he switches weapons with his friend. Most beaches are littered with anti-Jap clubs. A knife and a club may not be the last word in modern warfare, but a well-trained knife and club fighter in hand-to-hand combat can be a one-man cyclone. Maybe the knife will have to slice more than coconuts before the day is over. Let's follow the Marine with the knife as he goes out to see whether this is friendly land or Tojo land. Tojo land. Wait a minute, Mac. You'd better remember all the knife fighting tricks you've ever been taught. Let's start at the beginning. The first thing you learned while training was the correct way to hold a knife, like this. In a firm grip without choking it to death. In a straight line from the tip of the blade to the elbow. This is possible only if you keep the wrist straight. The thumb is held parallel to the handle. Notice that the tip of the thumb is kept behind the guard. This is the wrong way to hold it. If you hold it this way, the Jap's knife can slide down your blade and cut across the back of your hand and thumb. In short, don't hold the knife close to the guard. But if the knife is held correctly, the guard stops the enemy blade before it can reach the back of your hand or thumb. At all times, keep relaxed and well balanced, like a boxer. A man with a knife is a boxer, only he's playing for keeps. So slide those feet around, parallel to your opponent. Never cross one over the other. If you don't cross them, they won't cross you. Notice that the tip of your blade is pointed toward your enemy's eyes. As a result, only a small part of your knife is visible, making it difficult for him to follow or anticipate your moves. This is the low thrust. It is executed by keeping your right foot in place and extending your left foot slightly forward. As you crouch down, touch your left hand to the deck for balance and lunge out with your knife hand, extending it full length to the stomach. A low thrust allows you to get under your enemy's blade and deliver an effective blow. To overcome a high thrust from your enemy aimed at your left, retaliate with a high thrust directed at his throat. A high thrust is made by keeping your right foot in place and moving your left foot in the line behind. This turns you sideways and reduces the area of your body exposed to attack. The enemy's blade will go harmlessly by your left shoulder. Your blade will catch him in the throat. Warding off blows is called parrying. This is the left parry. Step away from your enemy's blade while knocking it to one side with the top quarter of your own. Then hand cut, throat slash, and side jab. The three spots quickly accessible to your knife. The same results can be obtained from a right parry. In this case, step to your left to evade his thrust. Then lash out in a right parry, following it with a hand cut, throat slash, and jab. If your first parry doesn't knock your opponent's knife aside, quickly parry again. Then follow through with the hand cut, throat slash, and jab. This is called the double parry. Let's give it a closer look. Parry twice. Hand cut. Throat slash. Jab. The double parry, hand cut, throat slash, and jab can also be made from a right parry. Here is a closer view. If the first try doesn't knock his blade aside, hit it again. Then follow through. Blades that become locked may be disengaged by suddenly releasing the pressure on your knife. This throws your opponent off guard. No matter on which side your opponent has your blade locked, you may disengage it by suddenly releasing pressure. This is a disengage to the right. The blades are locked. Release pressure, follow through. A parry left can be followed by a hand grab and thrust. Parry with a great deal of force near your opponent's hand, keeping a constant pressure against your opponent's blade until you grab his wrist. Force that blade down. Keep pressure on it until you grab the wrist. Then jab him in the midsection. This is the same series of moves done on the other side. No matter which side you are on, the important thing is to keep constant pressure on his blade before grabbing his wrist. Neutralize his blade, grab that wrist and tickle him in the ribs with your knife. Let's review the basic knife movements taught in this course. The low thrust gets you under your opponent's blade. The left parry enables you to follow through with a hand cut, throat slash, and jab. The right parry allows you to go through the same movements on the opposite side. The double parry left is executed when a single parry fails to knock your opponent's blade aside for the follow through. The double parry right is the same maneuver from the opposite side. The disengage right is used when your knives are locked. Release the pressure suddenly and follow through with the hand cut, throat slash, and jab. The disengage left is executed for the same result on the opposite side. The parry left, hand grab, and thrust is a variation of the ordinary parry. Don't forget to keep your knife against his before grabbing his wrist. This is also to be remembered in the parry right, hand grab and thrust. You remember all this? Okay, go ahead, wade in. On guard, engage, disengage, engage. Oh. Let's see how your friend is making out with the club. Watch it, pal. You're about to be ambushed. Oh, the Jap sees that you're not armed, so he wants a little bayonet practice, does he? Okay, Mac, show him how a man with a club can polish off a man armed with a bayonet. That's one way of doing it. Now let's see the many other effective means of using the club as a combat weapon. In a hand weapon, the first thing to master is the correct ways of holding it. The simplest hold is the long hold. Grip the club as you would grip a tennis racket. The short grip has the index finger pointing along the club, which lays against the forearm. A very deceptive way to hold the club is with both hands. You can snap either end for a decisive and surprise blow. Let's assume the club is hooked onto your belt and you want to use it in a hurry. Reach behind you with your right hand, keeping your palm out, and grab the club with a short grip. The forefinger is about an inch behind the point of the club. The long end runs along the forearm. The back reach is used in order to use your other hand as a guard. Now jab him in the stomach. When he doubles over, grab the club in both hands and bring it up under his chin and knee him in the crotch. This will knock his head back, leaving his face unprotected. Bring the club down on the bridge of his nose. It is guaranteed to end his interest in life. Your interest in life can get a jolt from which it may never recover if you grab from the front. To do the most damage with the club held with the long grip, aim for vulnerable spots such as the knees. Wrist. Elbow. Base of neck. Bridge of nose. Crotch. Stomach. And throat. There's a hazard in holding the club the long way. It's possible for your opponent to grab it. A short grip makes it difficult for him. As there is very little of the club exposed, your opponent will come in much closer due to a false sense of security. This will be his biggest mistake. If he throws a right-handed punch, you can ward it off with your left and jab him in the midsection with the point of the club. If he throws a left-handed punch, you can ward that off with your club arm and follow through to the side of the head. The short grip may also be used in a whip-like action to such vulnerable spots as the knee, wrist, elbow, base of the neck, the bridge of the nose, crotch, stomach, and throat. Some fighters prove to be very unethical, like the guy who is always trying to kick you in the face. But our magic wand can take care of those mugs, too. Cross your arms at the wrist with the club hand on top. This will block the kick. Put the club under his leg and grab the other end with your left hand. Stand up and flip him off his feet onto his stomach. From then on, the situation will look very promising. Curl your leg about his and sit on it. Then hit him on the back of the neck with your left hand and jab him on the side of the head with the club. This is one cure for kicking that even a TS slip can't beat. This hold is called the Japanese choke. Cross your arms with the club hand on top and pass the club in front of his neck as you quickly grab the other end with your left hand. Pull back with a jerk as you firmly plant your knee in the small of his back and throw him to the deck. Just to make sure he's got a survey, hit him between the eyes, knock out his teeth, smash his windpipe, crack his ribs, and club him in the crotch. Let's look at the chokehold again. Arms crossed at the wrist with the club hand on top. Pass the club around the front of his throat and quickly grab the other end with your left hand. Pull back with a jerk, your knee against the small of his back. If you break his back, don't worry, that's the idea. This next bit of mayhem is called the come-along. It's a choice between a broken arm or follow the leader. Come up behind anyone in need of such treatment with the club under your arm. Grab his wrist with your left hand and wrap it around the club. Bring your right hand up over his left and press down. Then move your left hand over the end of the club so he can't slip out of it. As few choose a broken arm, he'll come along. If that way becomes monotonous, you can vary it by putting the club between his arm and body. Grab his wrist with your left hand and pull up. Your wrist should be resting on top of the club. Lock the hole by putting your right hand over the end. This, too, is a magic formula for making him come along. You men who know wrestling understand the hammerlock. Here's a hammerlock to end all hammerlocks. Slide the club between his arm and body, Turn your right hand palm out and grab his wrist. Then pull his arm up behind his back. You're right, it's a one-sided argument. Supposing he pulls a small knife on you? Well, you can take care of that, too. By holding the club in the long grip, you can keep him at a distance. If he tries an overhead slash, remember the old chokehold. Cross your arms with the club hand on top. Grab the other end of the club with your left hand and pull him down to the deck. At the same time, knee him under the chin. Or grab the club in both hands, extending it over your head to parry the blow. Push him back and knee him in the crotch. If he tries to stab you in the stomach, stop the blow with a short grip club. Grab his wrist and move in with a jab to his throat and a knee to the crotch. If he tries an underhand slash, parry the blow with the club gripped in both hands. Then push him back and knee him in the crotch. A side sweep slash may also be countered by sucking in your stomach to avoid the blow and smashing his wrist with the blow from the short grip club. Grab his wrist and push him back as you jab him in the throat. If all this seems too complicated, you can go back to the long grip. He'll never be able to reach you with his short knife. You at least can break his wrist and move in from there. It is not the intention of the Marine Corps to send you into combat armed only with a club, but a man thoroughly trained for combat should know how to defend himself under any conditions. No one can promise you that you'll never have to defend yourself with a club against a man armed with a bayonet. Can it be done? Well, you've seen it done. The question now is how. Let's watch them. A rush to your left is parried by a hard blow as you move to the right away from the bayonet. Then follow through with a smash to the hand and bridge of the nose. This same series of blows may be executed if he rushes to your right. Step quickly to your left and parry the bayonet with a solid blow. Follow through with a smash to the hand and face. Now to do it again. Here's how you attack the bayonet with the club held by the short grip. Parry the bayonet with the club along the forearm. Grab his wrist, jab him in the side, and come down with a smashing blow behind the neck. For your information, let's do it again. Sometimes, like two heads, two hands are better than one. Parry the bayonet, block the butt stroke, knee him in the crotch, and ram him at the base of the neck. Don't forget that a bayonet by itself can also be used as a club with the same grips, the long, the short. And the two-handed. You have seen all the club against bayonet movements done slowly. Here you see them at normal speed. Notice how fast you have to move to avoid the opponent's blade and get into position to make your own thrust. In order to keep up this fast pace, you've got to remain relaxed and balanced. When you thrust, thrust with force behind it. Knock his head off before he gets a chance to move in. Now, if all this seems too tame, if you want to fight like no gentleman should, and who wants to be a gentleman, try a sample of real dirty fighting. Start from the ground up. A handful of dirt thrown in the right direction can be very helpful. Your helmet is a handy weapon on occasions, too. But don't fail to follow up swiftly. A sharp thumb in the eye will make the enemy wonder what he's fighting for. And finally, there is expectoration M1, otherwise known as spitting. All you have to do is work up a good mouthful and check for windage. There's no doctrine for dirty fighting. Everything goes, and if you invent something for yourself, don't hesitate to pass it along to your friends. But most of all, if and when the time comes, pass it to where it belongs, the enemy.